Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.
In New York, it's more trouble for Diddy as the family of Tupac Shakur hires Alec Baldwin's Rust lawyer to investigate the murder of Tupac. In Arkansas, DNA has led to a major breakthrough in a 29-year-old disappearance of an 11-year-old at a baseball game. And in Michigan, an inmate is accused of striking a dog and causing a concussion. These stories and more coming at you today, Wednesday, October 9th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
What do you ever say?
It's Crime Wednesday. What do they say? Hump Day?
Hump Day Wednesday. And we don't know, y'all, because we're pre-recording again about the impact of the hurricane. Prayers for y'all and everybody in the way of the storm. Stay safe. And y'all, we got some crazy ass stories for you today. So let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday.
We're going to start off with, this investigation's been going on forever, nearly 30 years. And I'm talking about the investigation into the death of Tupac Shakur. The family of the late rapper has hired a prominent New York lawyer to investigate the links between his death and Sean Diddy Combs. Alex Spiro, a 41-year-old Harvard-trained attorney, helped Rust actor Alec Baldwin secure a legal victory in his involuntary manslaughter case. I probably could have got him out of that. Right. I mean, come on.
Yes, yeah. Fucking Russ. We can't ever get away from that fucking story.
I know. We won't spend much time on it. But Baldwin was charged with manslaughter in 2021 after an onset incident leading to the tragic death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Shakur's family has hired Spiro, who has a roster of Hollywood clients, to investigate whether Combs had any involvement with the late rapper's death. Shakur was fatally shot in a drive-by shooting on September 7th of 1996. He was riding shotgun with Death Row Records co-founder Marion Suge Knight in a black BMW when a white Cadillac pulled up alongside him at a traffic light.
Right.
Knight was in the car with Shakur, and they were both shot in that incident. However, Knight walked away, and obviously Tupac did not. Industry legend Shakur and Notorious B.I.G., a Bad Boy artist under Diddy's label, both died in drive-by shootings. Biggie, whose real name was Christopher Wallace, died in the arms of one of Combs' bodyguards. The case prompted speculation and conspiracy theories for more than a decade, and police in Las Vegas finally announced an indictment in Shakur's death last year when Dwayne Keefe D. Davis was indicted on the charge of open murder with use of a deadly weapon. In 2018, Davis made media statements on podcasts, oddly enough, that reinvigorated the investigation. In 2008, Combs denied a report by the LA Times that his associates were responsible for a 1994 robbery and shooting of Shakur at a New York recording studio. Bullshit. Yeah. The story is a lie, the hip-hop mogul said, and it's beyond ridiculous and completely false. The 1994 shooting triggered a feud between East Coast and West Coast rappers that led, many believe, to the killings of Shakur and Notorious B.I.G. On September 16th, of course, Combs was arrested for so many sex trafficking violations, you can't count them. And it reinvigorated this case to where Tupac's family is now having this famed lawyer look into it.
Yeah, I remember, right, when it happened in Vegas and all that. I was 24 years old.
Yeah, I do too.
It just keeps going and going and just get to keeps on giving, I guess.
Yeah, and you know, very bizarre case from the perspective of it was all, I mean, this was on the Las Vegas Strip.
Right,
this
right,
happened.
Right.
This wasn't in the middle of nowhere in the desert.
Right.
Exactly. It's just really a strange case that all this time and no firm arrest.
Yeah, who knows what else is going to come out about P. Diddy. But you're going to be covering it on.
Well, I personally have no doubt Diddy had something to do with it.
Well,
maybe I'll cover that in a
episode. Yeah. Then, and y'all go listen to it. Expose Files of the Scandal.
You're going to get it one day. Scandalous Files of the Elite.
All right. Yes, indeed. That and many, every other high profile case, right?
That you cover on. That's right.
So, look, I think everybody loves a sweet little puppy.
Yes.
Right? And look at the sweet little puppy. I don't even know what kind of dog that is.
He showed me a picture of a little bitty cute dog,
like a little 3-pound dog.
Yeah.
It's not a chihuahua, but it's something like that. I mean, we raise English Springer Spaniels, which are probably 3 times the size of this dog, and our dogs are small. But we've shipped them all over the United States, and a lot of them have gone to be therapy dogs and PTSD dogs and stuff like that.
Yep.
Well, that's a real deal. And service animals, whether you're blind or like my buddy, my brother Shane has a PTSD dog from his time in the Army and what have you. But they are now, they take these dogs into hospitals and it to help patients. It calms them, helps them forget about their, situation they're in.
Right.
Well, now they're even taking them into prisons. And at Bloody Angola, they do a lot with the dogs and stuff and help them get out to people. Well, in Michigan, they have a program similar to that where they take these dogs in and help calm inmates and help the guards, and then cute little puppy makes everybody smile, right?
Sure.
Well, this Michigan inmate is charged with torturing an animal after a video showed him hidden a jail comfort dog. Right? The video, which was released by Genesee County Sheriff's Office, shows the dog Josie approached an inmate. Y'all, again, this dog is as big as my fucking foot. It's like 12 inches. Approaching an inmate who's identified by the sheriff's office as Romelio Maxwell, 27, who then violently strikes the animal. The dog was knocked off her feet and yelped. The footage stops right as another man appears to confront Maxwell. Now, look, even most hardened criminals, most of them, except for this asshole, like a sweet little puppy.
Right.
And in a press conference, Sheriff Christopher Swanson says Maxwell's being charged as a habitual offender, right? And could face up to 8 years in prison if convicted. And it's not clear if he's entered a plea. But Swanson says therapy dogs are used with guards, inmates, and even victims as part of an expansive canine program with the sheriff's office. Josie is just over a year old and weighs under 15 pounds. She suffered a concussion and a scraped pupil. And the veterinarian bill was thousands of dollars, according to Swanson. It broke my heart when I watched this video. This is a Genesee County prosecutor, David Layton, who added that Maxwell has been charged as harshly as possible under the law. And, he's locked up on that. Josie is going to continue to serve with sheriff's office and is doing great, according to the sheriff. But let me tell you something. You don't want to fucking have a jury or a bench trial, but you got a video of you knocking out a 10-pound dog,
right,
and hurting it. I mean, no. What the fuck? The bad grass is bad grass. But at least Josie's going to be alive. And if your fur baby isn't with you anymore, like happened to Jim and his family, you can go to Louisiana Pet Crematory. Our friends Rory, Kristen, and Kristen in Broussard, Louisiana. Look them up, louisianapetcrematory.com. And they have so many cool things, y'all, to memorialize your pet. And they're such great people.
They really do. They've got a lot of, everything from the urns for the pets to frames, They do these really cool paw print deals.
Yep. And necklaces, all kinds of stuff. And they also have LouisianaFuneralServices.com and, you know, complete funeral services, and the only place in Louisiana where you can get your own independent autopsy done.
Very important.
Best people in the world. We love them to death, and they've been huge supporters of ours. And Roy and Kristen, thank y'all for what you do. So LouisianaPetCrematory.com, just go check it out. Or LouisianaFuneralServices.com. So underneath that
giant American flag and
Bruce sword. And the tag is
Rest Easy.
So
yeah, great people over there.
We love them.
Well, we're going to get into a little bit of DNA breakthrough.
Love a good DNA.
News. Yeah. Look, this particular case has really made the national, news wires here recently. And that is the story of an 11-year-old girl that went missing 30 years ago from a baseball game.
Right.
Biggest nightmare to a parent, right?
Oh, God, can you imagine?
Police in Arkansas have made a major DNA breakthrough in that 29-year-old cold case involving Morgan Nick. Investigators have formally named Billy Jack Lynx as a suspect in her disappearance after they were able to find one hair in his truck that was linked back to her. Morgan was abducted from a Little League game. This was on June 9th of 1995 while chasing fireflies with friends. Witnesses said a man had been staring at her during the game and described a distinctive red truck with a white camper parked near the scene in Alma. He stole Morgan from us, Morgan's mom, Colleen Nick, said as she held back tears at a press conference. But he didn't win. Our love for Morgan, her memory, her voice, it outlasted his life. That love continues to shine and Morgan's heart shines on. Lynx, who has since died, was convicted of sexual indecency after trying to snatch a child just 3 months after Morgan vanished. He attempted to abduct an 11-year-old in Van Buren at a location 8 miles from the Wolford baseball field where Morgan was last seen.
Another 11-year-old.
Well, and I misspoke. This girl was actually 11. Morgan was 6 years old. Yes. The victim's description of the car matched that to the one linked to Morgan's disappearance. At the time, law enforcement's released image of a red truck with a white camper. Lynx died in prison in 2000 at the age of 72. In 2019, officers managed to locate the owner of Link's truck, who had no knowledge of its history. Imagine that. The owner allowed the FBI to conduct DNA testing on the vehicle. This is just amazing. Several hairs were recovered, even after somebody else owned it years later, right? Were recovered, with at least one coming back as a match for a child or sibling of Morgan's mother, Colleen Nick. So familiar DNA. The officers added that the investigation remains ongoing and it's unclear whether Lynx worked alone. Now, at the time of her disappearance, Morgan was approximately 4 feet tall, 55 pounds, blonde hair, blue eyes. She was last seen wearing a green Girl Scout t-shirt, blue denim shorts, and white tennis shoes. A massive investigation turned up thousands of leads, but no solid clues. A composite was released at the time with witnesses' recollections of a man seen talking to Morgan, who was described between the ages of 23 and 38, 6 feet tall with a mustache and beard. In 2017, police searched an eastern Oklahoma property, which had previously been searched in connection to the abduction, located 25 miles southwest from Alma. However, no evidence was found in either search. The youngster's tragic disappearance is still keenly felt by her family, who set up what's known as the Morgan Nick Foundation to help find other missing children and adults. And last year, a documentary called Still Missing Morgan was released on Hulu, which highlighted the abduction. In the series, Morgan's father described how the family had gone to watch a friend's child play baseball. Morgan went off to play with some other children, stopped to get some sand out of her shoe. It's thought that that was the moment when the kidnapper struck. This was the last time I ever saw her, Morgan's mom sobbed in the clip. I could not
Oh, man.
Fucking imagine.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
Fires in hell burn a little brighter.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, there's nothing on this earth more despicable than that.
There's other kids. He didn't just start with those two. There's other ones. But it's been so long now. And the evidence that hair being found after all that time is just amazing.
It's unbelievable. And how many times have that truck been cleaned?
Yeah, since, right. And you know, there's no such thing as closure on this case. It's like Courtney Coco's murderversary, and I hate that word, was this past weekend. And it's been 20 years. And, you know, we got the conviction, where her mama still feels it every day.
Sure.
And then my brother got killed when he was 7. And I was like 2. My mama, it's been like 50 something years, and mama still says she cries every day.
Yeah.
And when she thinks about it. So it never goes away. And prayers go out to him, and fuck him, and fuck all pedophiles. I don't know.
Well, maybe the discovery of this at some point will lead to some remains that the family, you know, they can give up, I guess, a proper burial or something. Yeah. Maybe they can backtrack this guy's steps somehow.
Hopefully something. But at least they know now. I don't know. There's nothing good about it that I can say.
Yeah.
Nothing good about it. Hey, y'all. You want to set your child up for success? Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend. Hey, y'all, let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications, including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions. Affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it, and it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's join, joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life. Well, I know that you enjoy this time of the year like I do because it's football season, right? Whoop. Remember old Eddie Lacy?
Yeah, I remember
running
Eddie
back
Lacy.
For Green Bay and onion. He was a stud, right?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't normally report on a DUI case. In most states, it's driving under influence, and Louisiana is driving while intoxicated. But this one caught my eye. Because Eddie Lacy was a badass, and he was a star in the NFL. But he got arrested on a charge of, quote, extreme DUI, quote. First time I've ever seen that.
I've never heard of that
in my entire life.
I thought they were all extreme.
So he's retired, y'all. And he's a retired running back. And he pled guilty to another charge like this back in 2022, but he was arrested late Monday night on 4 DUI charges, I don't understand how this works, including an extreme DUI charge in possessing an open container inside the vehicle. And this was in Arizona, y'all. Now, in the state, an extreme DUI charge for a blood alcohol concentration of at least 0.15 is a misdemeanor. Now, Sergeant Allison Simpsons,
misdemeanor.
Well, your first DWIs in Louisiana are misdemeanors.
Really?
Absolutely, absolutely. And they're going to plead you down. Listen, I'm going to tell you, people don't understand this. You see somebody like in Louisiana that's got arrested, got in a crash, killed somebody, and this is their 12th DWI.
Mm.
Guess what? It's not. Because if you get arrested your first DWI, let's say here in Livingston Parish, you have to go in, you plead guilty, whatever, okay? Then you get arrested in another parish, East Baton Rouge Parish, while the arresting officer can see that you were arrested for DWI before, so they charge you with second offense. When it goes to court in East Baton Rouge, it's still a misdemeanor. So the prosecutor in East Baton Rouge would have to come to Livingston to prove that you've been boykinized. And boykinized is when you plead guilty to the first one, the judge has to read this long list of shit. It's like a fucking 15-minute thing that they have to read, and you have to agree to it. So before you can get charged with the second offense, if it's in a different parish, they have to go to the first parish and get the court records of the boykinization to charge you with the second one. So it never happens.
Right.
And it goes on third, fourth, fifth, and sixth. They don't take the time to go back and get the other boykinizations to up the charges.
Wow.
So, but anyway, Lacy, y'all, the 0.15 is high. I told you back in the day, I wanted to see how drunk I could get and blow in the machine when I was a cop, a uniform cop, and I was off duty, and I bought a case of beer. I slammed like 15 in an hour and a half, and I went in and I blew a 0.14, and I weighed 275 pounds.
Yeah,
and I was blackout drunk. So wow. 0.15 is pretty extreme. Anyway, they confirmed the booking, and the NFL star booking said the DUI evidence still needs to be analyzed and processed by the lab. So Lacy was arrested around 10:40 p.m. Monday, September 30th, after a caller dialed 911 trying to locate a possible impaired driver and provided a description of the vehicle to police. Officer stopped Lacey in Scottsdale, and after they watched him commit traffic violations, and this is according to police report, Lacey, who was selected in the second round of the 2013 NFL draft by the Green Bay Packers out of the University of Alabama, was named the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year by the Associated Press in his first season. And in 2014, he became the fifth ever Packer to Green Bay Packer to register back-to-back 1,000-yard rushing seasons. And the former running back, who played five professional seasons, rounded out his career with the Seattle Seahawks before retiring in 2017, but he has a history of driving problems in Scottsdale, Arizona. In March of 2022, Lacey was charged in a five-count case in Scottsdale involving a DUI, including two counts of extreme DUI. Four of the charges, including one of the extreme DUI charges, were dismissed at the request of a city attorney. And Lacey pleaded guilty to having an extreme DUI with a blood alcohol content of at least 0.20. Bro, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
So when you're here, if you stop somebody and you bring them to blow in the breathalyzer, if it hits 0.30, you have to stop. They have to take you to the hospital. 0.40 is legally dead.
Oh.
So before that case was closed in December 2022, Lacey pleaded guilty that September to driving with a license suspended, revoked, or canceled. Other related charges was dismissed again at the request of the city attorney. Now, this August, Lacey was charged with speeding through a school zone. Last month, he was charged with speeding again. And both of those cases remain ongoing. And old Lacey just be getting hammered, speeding and driving, drinking.
Yeah, man. The former running back for Alabama. Yeah,
Alabama. Fucking, I think he might have been a finalist for the Heisman that year.
He was in second round draft pick.
Stud.
Yeah,
studs. Don't drink it.
Don't drink and drive. Oh, too many options out there.
Extreme.
All right, we're gonna go to Virginia, and a big time story right now going on with a love triangle. How about that?
Lord.
Virginia prosecutors are pointing to blood splatter analysis as one key piece of evidence that led to the arrest of a former IRS employee in connection with the 2023 murders of his wife and an unknown man in Washington, D.C.'s suburb of Herndon.
I've never heard of a love triangle that ended well.
No, there's probably not many. Brendan Banfield, a husband and father of a then 4-year-old daughter and his family's then 22-year-old Brazilian au pair, which is her name was Juliana Magalhães. They are accused of killing Christine Banfield, Brendan's wife, and a Fairfax County NICU employee, and Joseph Ryan, a 38-year-old man who showed up at the Banfield's home armed with a knife in Herndon, Virginia. This was in February of 2023. Ryan's connection to the family or their au pair remains unclear. What is an au pair?
A babysitter.
Oh, that's like a fancy way of putting it.
Yeah, so much people.
I just call them babysitter.
Beautiful babysitter. They live in.
Sound like expensive babysitters.
They live in. Help take care of shit.
I got you. Well, Fairfax Commonwealth Deputy Attorney Eric Clingdon told a courtroom on September 27th that after investigators spent a year of reviewing two definitive reports from expert forensic investigators, prosecutors determined they had enough evidence to prove their theory that Ryan and Christine's bodies were moved after the death. Ryan's arms were moved and had Christine's blood on them. Brendan Banfield, who was arrested last month, more than a year after the double murders took place, is charged with four counts of aggravated murder and use of a firearm in commission of a felony. Magalhães, who was arrested about 8 months after the killing, also faces aggravated murder charges etc. On February 24th of 2023, I stood in the middle of a cul-de-sac in Fairfax County and described the deaths of two people inside a residential home. Now, 570 days later, we know the deaths of Joseph Ryan and Christine Banfield are in fact murders. When police initially responded to a 911 call from the residents that day, they found Christine with stab wounds to the neck and Ryan with fatal gunshot wounds in the upstairs bedroom of the home. Authorities took Christine to the hospital, where she was later pronounced dead. Officials recovered a knife and two firearms from the scene. We knew that Brandon Banfield and Juliana Magalinas were involved in a romantic relationship at the time of the murders, Davis said during a press conference in September. I will not describe our victim, Joseph Ryan's, involvement with anyone in the case because of the movement of the investigation. We know that Brandon Banfield and Juliana Magalinas were involved in a romantic relationship at the time of the murder. So on February 24th of 2023, Magalinas told police she had left Banfield's home to take their young daughter to the National Zoo. She told authorities that she began driving, but realized she had forgotten the lunches she packed for the excursion, turned around and noticed an unfamiliar car in the driveway. She then reportedly called Brendan, who was a former criminal investigative agent for the IRS. Not one of probably many people's favorite people, who had at that point left for work, and told him about an unknown car in their driveway. The pair decided to meet at Banfield's home and walk inside together. Initially, Magalinas told police that when she and Brendan walked inside, they saw an unknown man, Ryan, holding Christine at gunpoint. She allegedly described him as an intruder. Ryan was apparently fully clothed, while Christine was naked in the main bedroom of the house. It remains unclear what transpired in the home on that Friday morning, but Magalinas and Brendan both admitted to shooting Ryan while the man was holding a knife to Christine. Prosecutors allege that a computer at the Banfield home was tied to an account on a sexual fetish website. While the account on that computer appeared to show a photo of Christine in a bathing suit, it's unclear exactly who was communicating on the account. The profile apparently did not display one iota of evidence that she was into knife play, binding, and BDSM. Klingon previously said in a court document that Ryan, the man who reportedly held Christine at gunpoint, also apparently had an account on the website and had been communicating with whoever was accessing the site from Banfield's computer. Authorities arrested Magalinas in October of 2023 after she moved into the Banfield's main bedroom and placed a framed photo of herself with Brendan on the nightstand beside the bed. A grand jury indicted the 23-year-old in April, and her trial is scheduled to take place in November. And Brendan, he's no longer employed at the IRS.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question.
Lost his job.
If you had to be stabbed somewhere, like it was certain, they like, okay, Jim Chapman, you're going to get stabbed. It will give you a choice of where you want to get stabbed at multiple times, or where would it be? Mine would not be in the motherfucking neck, I could tell you that.
No.
I'd rather be stabbed in the head.
I think a shoulder or something.
You know, something. Yeah. I'd rather be stabbed anywhere but in the neck. Maybe
the shoulder. Seemed like I could. That would be the one I could take the best. I don't know. Maybe the thigh.
I just can't imagine.
It would suck no matter where. Yeah. Definitely not the ding ding.
Well, I mean, it sucked for her. She got stabbed in the neck numerous times. I mean, fuck. How much is too much?
Yeah.
Well, you know, summertime's over with, except for down in the Caribbean. And I used to go down there when I was a single dad and all that, and I was working for the state police, and I had 4-day weekends, and I would just jump a plane and go to Cos and go diving because I had all my shit down there, right? I didn't pack a bag or anything. And there was never any trouble. And then, and especially like in Cancun, Cozumel's the island offshore from Cancun or Playa del Carmen, but there wasn't any trouble back then. And even the cartel stayed out of like Cancun in the big hotel, the fancy resort areas and all that. Well, let me tell you what happened on Wednesday, October 2nd. Visitors at a luxury Cancun hotel were on alert Thursday after a Mexican national was reportedly shot and killed by suspects who fled on jet skis.
Ooh.
Some Miami Vice shit, right? The incident happened on a beach near the Rue Caribbean Hotel shortly before noon on high noon on Wednesday, October 2nd. And this according to the Riviera Maya News. The 30-year-old man, who is not identified, but is believed to have been a businessman from Mexico, was reportedly shot by four gunmen, two of which fled the scene on jet skis after the attack. It's crazy. Paramedics that responded to the site confirmed the man's death, and authorities cordoned off the area from the public as they launched an investigation. And a marina boat was sent out in order to locate the suspects who had fled across the water, while authorities also carried out a search on land for evidence. Nearby guests and staff on the beach ran for cover after the shots rang out. In footage taken of a concerned guest at the hotel returned to the lobby from the beach around the time the shooting was shared on X. One video was captioned, "These were the moments of terror that the tourists who were staying at the Rue Palace Hotel in the Paradise Hotel Zone, Cancun, experienced when a subject was executed by several shots." Now, y'all, the Hotel Rue Caribbean said in a statement that the man who was killed in the incident had not been a hotel guest or an employee. Hotel Rue Caribbean did not immediately respond to requests for comment about the incident. The U.S. State Department, of course, we told you about this, but they did it. They issued a travel advisory to several areas of Mexico in September 2024 due to crime and kidnapping, and it noted in its advisory that violent crime such as homicide, kidnapping, carjacking, and robbery is widespread and common in Mexico. And the U.S. government has limited ability to provide emergency services to U.S. citizens in many areas of Mexico, as travel by U.S. government employees to certain areas is prohibited or restricted, the State Department said.
Yeah.
They're killing it. And you know, I know for a fact, and I've seen documentaries on it, et cetera, they were that reporter's name, that blonde-headed lady, she goes like undercover with the people, but they always black out like the gangster spaces and stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She's been on Reagan several times.
So spring break would come to Cancun, everybody started going, cause Florida was tightening down on the drinking age and all that. The cartel would agree to not go in and fuck with the tourists or do any shootings. They would go in, and the police have military checkpoints searching everybody that comes in and looking for drugs, and they'd find some, most they did, and the cartel would go in and sell the X and all that to all the party goers on the beach, but they wouldn't kill anybody.
Right.
Bad for business.
Yeah.
Now they don't care.
Same thing they do, you know, in New Orleans, they try to protect the French Quarter more than anything else, because
you don't want, that's, tourism is a lot big of money. That is the industry there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that's right.
And jet skis.
Jet skis.
Imagine you get away on jet
skis. All right, we're going to go to East Baton Rouge Parish.
East Baton Rouge, right across the river.
Right across the river. And new details into the arrest of a former East Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Deputy show how investigators were able to track down contraband that was brought into the parish prison. And man, we talk about this a lot with, you know, contraband getting into prisons. Tybracia Gibson was booked this past Thursday, and charged with malfeasance in office and three counts of bringing contraband into a penal institution. According to DA Hiller, DA attorney, shit, boom. Get that right, Jim. District attorney. According to District Attorney Hiller Moore, the arrest happened because of an extensive investigation into the 60 gang. Moore says in August, calls between suspected gang members were coordinating the exchange of contraband. Gibson's arrest warrant confirmed this. Fortunately, I have two very aggressive investigators that took this on and took it personally because of the nature of the situation we're dealing with. Someone potentially being killed and listening in on jail phone calls. After listening to phone calls, investigators were led to Tibracia Gibson, who was dating an inmate by the name of Rashawn Alexander, and giving him information about a gang member who is expected to testify against him, which eventually led to us to suspect drugs were being shipped into the prison through these particular people. So obviously a couple of conversations going on in that phone call.
Hey, y'all, changing my wardrobe from summer to fall? Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere boat neck sweater and heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365 day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365 day returns. Quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object. Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Now we're in the process of going backwards to look and see all that has been done, what we can find out, and there is a cloud on computers and telephones, you name it. We're going to be working our way backwards from there. So they're listening in to find out one specific key piece of information on her exposing someone testifying against this guy, which is bad enough. And then they find out she's doing all kinds of wild.
Shout out to those investigators that are doing that. And Hiller Moore, y'all heard me say it so many times, such a great guy and a stand-up district attorney. And, you know, Baton Rouge has such a high murder rate and stuff. And not just a high-profile cases. I still see on the news when I'm watching them, Hiller will walk up on the scene himself.
Yeah.
And send his deputy district attorneys that are going to be prosecuting cases. And he goes out and, I mean, he truly does care about the people of East Baton Rouge. Fuck that dude for doing this stuff. But hey, really fuck this girl for doing this. Did you get to know your grandparents?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Mine are all dead. So I never got that experience.
Yeah.
But I'm a granddaddy now. It's a little shout out of mine, right?
You ain't dead.
But are your grandparents still alive?
No.
Or not? Yeah.
No.
I used to kind of be jealous of my friends that got to hang out with their grandpas when we were kids and shit. You know?
Yeah.
But I know if my grandpa had been alive, he'd beat my ass. But anyway, let's go to Florida. Now, y'all know I get these fucking names all the time, and I'm going to let you guess this one. It's spelled Y-E-V-H-E-N-I-I-A. That's the first name. Last name is Koval. KOVAL 79 was found unresponsive with multiple bruises in May, leading to the arrest of her teenage granddaughter, Sophia Cavall. Authorities in Florida are charging the 14-year-old with manslaughter in connection with the beating to death of her grandmother in May. Now, why Cavall, the 79-year-old, was found unresponsive, I told you that, with multiple bruises on her body. And this is in Lauderdale Lakes, Florida. And that was the last May the 23rd. And police arrested Cavall's 14-year-old granddaughter, suspect in connection with the woman's death, which was ruled a homicide. The teenager is now being charged as an adult on manslaughter charges, according to the Broward County authorities, who identified her as Sophia Cavall. Because of the heinous nature of the crime, and after considering everything presented by the defense so far, I believe it is appropriate that this case should be handled in adult court, as according to Broward State Attorney Howard F. Pryor. Now, Sophia's father told police on May 23rd that he had left the teenager with his mom in his home to go see a friend and return home to find the elderly woman unresponsive. She was pronounced dead after being transported to a hospital. Now, according to the arrest report, investigators believe Sophia beat her grandmother with a belt and the walker the elderly woman used. Okay. In the arrest report, cited by NBC Miami and the South Florida Sun Sentinel, Sophia told her father that she attacked her grandmother in self-defense. Mm. It was on a walker, bro. She allegedly told them she struck the victim several times with a belt. And Sophia then began crying and expressing remorse for what she had done. She told her father that she helped the elderly woman die because she was already dying.
Hmm.
Right? You just... Sophia recently moved to Florida from her native Ukraine, where she witnessed the ongoing war, her father says. He told police she was experiencing behavioral issues after witnessing the war and being separated from her mom. Now, on the day of the killing, Sophia's father took away her phone to discipline her. And if convicted, Sophia would face a maximum 15 years in prison. But there is still a possibility she may face the penalty for a juvenile, which is 3 years in a juvenile correctional facility. And she may also be deported, y'all, after completing her sentence, and she's being held without bond.
You know, it's become more prevalent with these freaking 13, 14-year-old kids.
Your 79-year-old grandmother who's on a walker beat her with a belt and then beat her to death with her own walker.
Yeah. Carla Gregg just got convicted of killing her parents and she was 14. Ooh.
I think I heard that name. Which one?
Oh, yeah. That's a big case. Just a big case. Yeah, huge case. She just got convicted like last week.
Killed her grandparents?
Killed her parents.
Parents, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, and then called her friend and said, want to see what a dead body looks
like? That's right. That's right. We covered that last week. And then, but this little girl saying, well, you know what? She was already dying anyway. I just helped her along.
Awful. Well, guess what?
What?
That happened out of Florida.
Right.
But, you know, it happens in Texas, too.
Oh, shit. Here we go.
Well, let me tell you about Texas. On the afternoon of Saturday, this past Saturday, officers responded to a residence on Brook Hill Drive in Austin. Woody's old stopping ground.
I love me some Austin.
Multiple concerned callers requested that police check on 75-year-old Shireen Maxa and 76-year-old Anthony Maxa, and that Kyler Monaghan was refusing to open the door and let them see the couple. Officers made contact with Chevy Monaghan in the driveway of the home, and he told police his grandparents were inside and they're unharmed. Yeah. So authorities observed Monaghan packing bags into the back of his grandma's vehicle at the time. The affidavit alleges that Monaghan seemed pretty nonchalant. He's just packing his bag, you know, it's all good.
Calm, collected.
While he's talking to police, and He calmly sits down and he lights a marijuana cigarette right in front of the cops and opens a soda can.
Yeah.
He's just chilling. He's right. So an officer finds ammunition in his pockets, because that's where you carry ammunition when you're just leaving the house to go on a trip, as well as his grandmother's pearls and some prescription medicine.
Plot thickens.
Authorities also reportedly found boxes of women's jewelry that he had loaded into his grandmother's vehicle. And police go inside the home, and he finds both that guy's grandparents dead. Gunshot wounds. And officers arrest him, obviously, on a charge of capital murder. He's in the Travis County Jail without bond. Yeah. So... back to backs.
You think
killing your grandparents?
Teens killing your grandparents, and then for what? I mean, yeah, I guess your brain doesn't think that far ahead. I'm gonna get my grandmother's pearls and maybe some jewelry, but I'm gonna shoot him in the head. What are you gonna do? You gonna go live a life of fucking luxury in Belize on
$1,000 set of pearls.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, these people are,
and now they're dead, yep. And they probably loved him more than anything.
Probably the only people that loved him.
Right.
You know,
and they got terrible. Yeah, think about those people's last moments. And I used to do that as a homicide detective. I always try to put myself in the victim's last things they saw and they felt. The terror they must have felt, or whatever, surprise and shock. My grandson's killing me.
Yeah.
That's tough shit. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we hate to end it on a bad note.
Yeah, right. Well, it is real life, real crime.
Yeah.
It happens. I'm not trying to scare all you grandparents out there.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I'm safe right now because mine's only 2 months old.
That's right. You ain't got to worry about that yet.
And let me tell you this. My daughter sent me pictures every day. She sent me this video of this clear plastic thing that kind of goes around the kid's neck. You'd think it'd choke them. And it's got her in the bathtub. She wasn't even 2 months yet. This was last week. And she is just fucking bouncing around that water with her feet pushed off and bouncing. I'm gonna show you the video and bounce around and just have, I mean, we're water babies anyway.
Yeah.
Love the water. 2 months old, bro. And this thing's holding her up, but she's pushing her little legs and she's just
having the time of her life.
Time of her life.
Yeah. Some of that.
Anyway, it's pretty amazing.
Wow.
Anyway, we love all y'all. Thank you for tuning in, listening, liking, and sharing and all that good podcast shit. Stay safe. Prayers with the people of storms and then from Hurricane Helen also, or Helene.
That's it. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
Your host of Real Life Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? And sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.